Can I two cheers? On this side. Does anyone want to sit on this table for me today, the whole service? No one wants to sit on this table? Hey, if you sit on this table, you can snack the whole service. Yeah, take notes on your phone. Yeah, definitely. No one else? How's everybody doing today? Everyone all right? Okay, if no one's going to sit with Lee, I'll sit with Lee. Apple. Are you allowed grape juice? Okay. If you're sitting down, we can sit down, eh? You all right? So what psalms have we been doing over the last 5 weeks? Psalms 23. How have you guys been finding Psalms 23? Been a bit enlightening? I pray that you've been enlightened over the last 5-6 weeks. Because Psalms 23 is a famous scripture that people use everywhere around the world. They call it the poem that it just encompasses everything of who God is to his people. And I was listening to somebody on YouTube yesterday on their take on Psalms 23, different from other versions I've heard, but the one thing they keep reiterating, it's a poem about God, Psalms 23. And so today we're going to be going through verses 5 to 6. Hence the reason why a table with grape juice and some fruit, I wanted to fill it up with heaps more stuff, eh? But it'll become a waste. But I pray, Lord, I just pray before we start, that you speak to each and every one of us, that we'll grab something from you today. I pray you enlighten us. I pray that we have a fresh revelation of who you are, and that we'll grow closer towards you, Jesus. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, so Psalms 23, we've been going from verses 1 to verse 4. Pastor Darren spoke about verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for your rod and staff they are with me. And so we're going to be going verses 5 and 6 today. But I just want to quickly recap with us. We understand up to this point that Jesus is the good shepherd. We all understand that? That Jesus is the good shepherd. And that he's the one who lacks nothing. So if Jesus, who is the good shepherd that lacks nothing, it means that we who are the people of God, what, lack what? Nothing. He is Yahweh. Yahweh is important because Yahweh is the creator of heaven and earth. Yahweh is the one who stepped out of time to create and design his creation. And Yahweh doesn't need us. Yahweh is complete in himself, but in himself he desires to be with Jordan. He desires to be with Chris. He desires to be with Fiona. He desires to be with Jesse. He desires us to be with maybe Chris. Yeah, nah, with Chris. He desires to be with us, Yahweh. He is Yahweh that leads us to green pastures, and he is Yahweh that leads us beside still waters, that everything he does leads us to righteousness. That's a key point for us to understand, that he leads us to righteousness, because you can't say God led me to this moment of crisis because God doesn't lead you to crisis. Are we okay? God cannot operate outside himself. He doesn't lead people to sin. He walks you out of sin. So God is one who leads us to righteousness, that every step he guides us keeps us in right standing with him. He will never lead us to a place that pushes us away from him, ever. And though there are times we go astray and head into the darkest valleys, God is with us because he is one that will leave the 99 for the one. Aren't you thankful that he leaves the 99 for the one? It makes it unfair for the 99, but it's not unfair. Why? What do we learn? That sheep are social animals, and that they thrive when they're in a community. So when you're in a community, you're okay, but it's that one that steps out inside the community that God goes for. Are we okay? So if Jesus went into the depths of hell, like we just noticed with communion, if he went into the depths of hell to get the keys of life back for you and I, then it shows us that Jesus will do anything for his lost sheep. Have you noticed that? If Jesus stepped into hell for you and I, if Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross for you and I, he will go for no, like he'll do anything just to get you back. Oh! Hello? Like, are you serious? Like, I need to push this statement, is that God will go at any lengths to get you back. There is no one in this world who will go to any lengths. We will say we do, but there'll be a point where we go up to. But God will even go to death to get you back. That's the God that we serve. He loves us so much. And so the good shepherd will give up his own life for his sheep. The father gave up his own son for his creation. Doesn't make sense, but he does it anyway. I'm thankful that God gave up his life for me because he gave me a blank check over my life, not meaning that I can misuse it, but knowing that he forgives me when I muck up. And so if anyone in here that feels so separated from God because you feel like you're a muck up or that you stuffed up so much, let me tell you this morning, God's put a blank check over your life, signed it with his blood, saying all is forgiven. Just surrender your life to me. And so today we're going to be going over verses 5 to 6. And I want to read that out for us. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You're not my enemies, okay? Just making a notice. That's just a table. Table before the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to break it down into four key points, four bite sizes for us to take away today. The first one is this: you prepare a table for me. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. You prepare a table for me. The second one is in the presence of my enemies. And I want to reiterate this soon. The third point is that you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And then the last one is verse 6, which surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So there's something significant I want us to look at with verse 5 and 6. I can't sit down and preach, man. It feels so awkward. Yeah, you sit there. Yeah, you have that. But there's actually something significant with verses 5 to 6, and I can guarantee many of us wouldn't have realized this. Look at the journey that the sheep take. Have you ever noticed the journey of the sheep? Or did you just read it as a poem? So we start off in green pastures. Then he leads us beside still waters. Then he helps us get out of valleys. And then what happens after the valleys, the sheep, just picture a sheep going to the green pastures, going to the still waters, and the sheep goes down in the valleys. What happens next? The final destination that the sheep go to is the house of God. Because where does he prepare a table before your enemies? Where? In the house. So he doesn't take you back to green pastures, but he leads his people who are in the green pastures, the still waters, went through the valleys. He leads them in God. And as he leads us into God's house, he prepares a table before me. This is significant. Why? Because God prepares the table. Nah. I should be serving God and I should be doing this. I should do it. But it's God's house. And so God prepares the table. What happens when someone comes over to your house? What happens? You prepare a table. You don't go to the person, oh, no, don't prepare the table. We should prepare the table because we're the guests. No, you let them prepare the table. Why? Because you're a guest. So God is the one who prepares us the table. This shows us that everything that God has on the table is for who? Me. So can you take a zip? take whatever. He prepares a table for you. So everything on the table is for who? You. The table has the best of the best. The table has provision. The table has blessings. The table has breakthrough. The table has healing. The table has restoration. The table has been prepared for you. But the problem we have with Christians today, and I love bagging Christians because I'm a Christian, and I used to do this. But the problem we have with Christians today is that God prepares a table before you, but you keep saying, "Are you sure, Lord? Is this for me, Lord? Is this the Lord? Have you used that before? Is this God?" Or do you use the, "I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it." I would feel like that. If I saw God in himself prepare a table for me, I'll feel like I don't deserve to sit at the table. We don't deserve it, but God made it worthy for us to sit at it. How did he do that? By dying on the cross. That's why we remember and take communion. We're not worthy of it, but he makes us worthy of it. Why? Because of his son. I want to put this example out. Have you ever got a present from somebody? Who's got a present from somebody? Yeah? You got a present from someone? Cool. Did you ever say, "Are you sure it's for me?" Have you said that? "Are you sure that's for me?" Do you ever say that, "Oh, I'm not worthy of this present," before you even opened it? You go, like, it's your birthday, and you know it's your birthday, and someone gives you a present. "Are you sure that's for me?" "Oh, I'm not worthy of this present. You don't know what I've done this week." Do you ever say that? Why is it that we are not like that when it comes to the physical things, but to God, we're like, "Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure this is for me? Am I worthy of this?" And God's like, "But I prepared it for you." Why is it easy for us to take from each other and not take from what God has for us? Because he prepares a table before me. We as the people of God need to learn and sit at the table. But you want to go out and work, don't you? Want to do something with your hands? But what if God just wants you to sit at the table? You see stories in the Bible where people are so busy doing things, but one's sitting at the feet of Jesus. "Oh, but I'm at the back, busy serving." But what if God just prepared a table for you to sit and eat? We as people are so quick to, like, we want to serve, want to serve, want to serve. Because that's the PI thing. Like, Pacifica people and people mainly with color, we get taught that way, to serve, 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 serve. But God's like, "I prepared a table for you, not for you to serve, but you to sit with me." And so we go through this journey of going through green pastures, still waters, going through the valleys, and then God brings us out of the valleys to come to a table for us to sit. Everything that God has for you is at his table. You don't know what's on the table until you sit at the table. The good grapes, eh? They're good grapes. Oh, tell my wife, I should have told her to do a cheese board. So he prepares a table before me. And the next part he goes, "In the presence of my enemies." Why is this significant? Because God hasn't made a table for you to sit with your enemies. He's made a table for you to sit with him. I've heard countless sermons online, and they keep saying, "Oh, God wants you to invite your enemies to the table," but that's not what he created the table for. This table is different. This table is a provision in that. This is for his people. This is for people who are in his house. So he prepares it before his enemies. And when it says enemies, it's not just talking about the devil, but it's all those who come against you and your call. Every person that comes against you and your call is your enemy. And it's not just the devil. Because it says enemies, meaning plural. If he said enemy, it would just relate to the enemy like the devil. And so what does God do? God makes a table. While making his table, your enemies have been watching God in envy, jealousy, and hatred because God's continually blessing your life. So your enemy is like, this is a picture of the enemy, eh? Like outside this with these windows, just looking in. And God's preparing a table before him. And he's making all this beautiful stuff. And your enemies are like, why is he still getting blessed? He's an idiot. He's blah, blah, this, this. And God's just preparing a table. I loved it when Tama spoke at our men's group. And you said something significant. You said, vengeance is God's. It's in his hands. When God prepares a table before your enemies, that's vengeance. But not because of what you're doing. God's doing it on your behalf. He's just going to keep blessing you. No. He's going to keep blessing you. See, God is honoring you in the presence of your enemies because you continually choose to honor him. That's significant because you're honoring God. You know the times when people are not looking, you're honoring God? Have you, in moments like that, when you get up and read your word, honoring God? When you are by yourself and you're praising and like lifting God's name in that moment, you're honoring God. In those moments, people don't see. But you know what God does? That he prepares a table before your enemies to see. He's one who he loves seeing your enemies like, why is he still getting blessed? Because you keep honoring God. That's significant. David was one who had Saul try to kill him, had people spoke against him, but David continued to choose following God's ways. But David wasn't a perfect person. Hey, everyone knows that? David wasn't a perfect person. But in his mistakes, David was still a man after God's heart. And in his mistakes, God still released him and relieved him, and God continued blessing him. Who keeps seeing it? Saul keep getting angry. Why is this happening? Because he keep honoring God. God keep preparing a table before his enemies. Every time that Saul tried to kill him, God blessed him. Abundantly. When people spoke against David, God blessed him. What does that look like for us? There will be times where you won't get recognitions for things you do. I want to talk to somebody this morning. You might be doing something and you're getting no recognition. There'll be times where people will speak against you. Anyone speaking against you? Oh, just me? Oh, yeah, two? There'll be times where people will not honor you. Yep. There'll be times where people will say some hurtful things and you'll start second guessing the God call of your life. Anyone in here? Yeah. But can I encourage you? Though you may not be getting it from the world, God will prepare a table before your enemies. That even though your enemies may be saying stuff about you, God will prepare a table. That's how you know you're okay. Are you right? You may not be getting validations from those around you, but Yahweh will validate you with the table. You don't need to look for validation from the world because the validation will come when God sets a table before you. That's your validation. Why? Because he's saying, I'm presenting this table for you to eat from in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies, they can make all the plans they want, but this table is your refuge. This table is your strength. This table is your breakthrough. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Just come sit at my table because he does it in the presence of your enemies. Hi, enemy. The table. Are we okay? The third thing is that you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I could have just did a sermon on this, but I don't want us to spend more longer on the Psalms 23. So this is like a quick breakdown. So that with this, the anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. This shows us that God has abundance for your life. My cup runs over. He has abundance for your life. He is one that has overflow for your life. Who believes that? Anyone believe that he's got overflow for your life? It's okay if you don't, because I want to show you something. And the reason why God has overflow for your life is because he is one who what lacks nothing. This is important for us to know, because if you were to come to my house, just picture this. And I had grape juice in my house, right? I would fill it like to there. Why would I fill it up to there? Because I have lack of resources. I can't fill it to overflow, because then I'll lose some and I'll waste some. But God is one who fills to overflow. Always dripping out. Why? Why is it always dripping out? Because he lacks nothing. He lacks no resource. He can let some spill. Why? Because he lacks nothing. You come to my house, you're only going to get up to the brim. That's it. But you come to God's house, you will have overflow. That when you finish your drink, God just keeps pouring. Even if you just drink a little, God just keeps pouring. I lack resources, but God doesn't. And you may be saying to yourself, "Oh, but I don't feel it. Do you feel it? Feel like that this morning? I don't feel or sense or see this overflow I'm talking about." I want to show you this example. Please don't get offended if you're one of the things that you shouldn't be. I'm saying this in advance. So we got bottles of water. All the same size? No one's talking to me. Okay. All the same size? That's not a hard question. I'm not trying to trick you. Okay, it's all the same size. Okay. All the same size? All water? What are they? 600 mils? All of them. I want you to picture this water as God's blessing. For all of us. God has no favoritism. He blesses us the same. So, we got a cup. So I want to this is what we should look like, right? All the same blessing. Blessing, okay. Everyone following? Blessing, same amount. But a different size thing, cup. This represents somebody, I'm not saying it's you, but if it's you, it's time to adjust. This represents somebody who believes they deserve more. Same blessing. What didn't happen? But same blessing. The same amount of blessing goes in, but it can't make it to our overflow. It's not the blessing, but it's the feeling that we deserve more. It's this thing that we think, God, I deserve more because I do more time with you. Oh, God, I deserve more because I go to church when Pastor Jay says to go to church. God, I deserve more. I read the Bible every day. Same blessing. It doesn't even go halfway. But the same blessing. Halfway. Not even halfway, but the same blessing. This cup, or this jar, represents somebody who believes that everything in their life came from them and their good works. God pours out the same blessing, but because they think, I'm here because of my strength, I'm here because I'm that good worker, I'm here because I'm that person, that they have such a big ego about themselves that God's pouring out the same blessing, but it's not overflowing. Is that anyone in here? And this is where I believe we should be. This represents somebody who understands that it's only the grace and mercy of God that I am where I am today. Same blessing, but the overflow is continuous. My cup runs over and over. The blessing is not the problem from God. The problem is us. You might be going, oh, but I don't see abundance in my life. Then what cup are you? You need to view and see what cup you are. Because if you believe you're this, oh, that's great. You'll have overflow, but that overflow will only last for some time. You could be this, but you'll never understand overflow. You'll understand blessings. But you'll go, but there's no overflow in my life. Here, you'll be going, where is God? Because there's not even halfway. But you still think you're the reason why you got where you are is because of yourself. But the one who is meek, the one who has humility, the one who bows everything before God saying, God, I am nothing without you. And the reason why I have what I have, and blessed as I am, is because of you. So that God can continually be pouring overflow. The same blessing, everyone gets the same blessing, but you need to look at, where's your heart? What cup am I? Because that's the difference between experiencing overflow and abundance and one who doesn't experience it at all. Does that make sense? And I want to ask us this morning, what cup are you? Are you cup one? Yeah, God's good. Cup two? Oh, I need more. Cup three? God, I definitely don't see you. Or cup four? Where you just stay in overflow. The people of God need to be more like this, meek, humble, ones who don't think better than others, because God says, take the log out of your eye before you see it as someone else's speck, right? This guy is the guy who's like, hey, that guy's sinning over there, wow, but it doesn't look at the log in their own eye. The people of God need to be more like this, because that's where true overflow is. Same blessing gets poured out upon all his people. The only difference is the cup. We need to examine our attitude towards God. If you haven't experienced God's abundance, you need to look at the cup that you are. Because the Bible speaks, my cup runneth over. But your cup can't run over if you think more highly of yourself. Oh, but God, I got this PhD. Oh, God, I went through this training, that training. Your pastor here has no qualifications anywhere. I've got no qualifications anywhere. My only qualification is God marked me. That's it. And so I have to always be like this, because I understand that it's only God's grace and mercy that I'm here today. I had that moment this week. I said to my wife, because we've been real busy with work, just like work's been so busy, because I work outside of church, right? And you know what? I said to my wife, I don't know how this church survived over the last 3 months. Because I haven't been able to plan or do anything because I've been so caught up with just life that I couldn't look at things for church because my life has been so busy. And God reminded me, Jordan, it's because of my grace. If I put you there, I will keep you there. It's only when you put yourself there that you can't sustain it. God, I feel like God wants to tell somebody here, if you're putting yourself somewhere, don't do it. Why? Because you're going to fail. Allow God to put you there. Because when God puts you there, nothing can take you out. My busyness couldn't take me out. My things that I'm going around my life couldn't take me out. Why? Because of God's mercy, God's grace. And I said to my wife this week, I was like, I'm so thankful for God. Because the enemy could have taken me out in the last 3 months. But God's grace. And so I have to keep looking at myself like this communion cup because I know it's not my strength on the reason why I'm saved. I know Wainui and the communities around Wainui and in Wellington won't have much impact if it's just about Jordan. But if it's about Jesus who truly saves and truly delivers, that's where the impact comes. And so we as a church need to stop looking at ourselves like it is. But look at ourselves like a communion cup where God can continue this overflow. And this is the reason why 6 is important. Verse 6. Can we put that up? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we continue following the Good Shepherd and allowing the Good Shepherd to lead our lives, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why is goodness and mercy following you? It's because you're following the one who gives goodness and mercy. It's not because of a church service. It's not because of a pastor or a leader. But it's because of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, you're following. And as we as the people of God follow the Good Shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And in that conviction, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because for as me as my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what this family is doing. I don't care what this family was doing. I don't care what this family is doing. But for my family, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm following the Good Shepherd. Can I encourage you today, as you follow the Good Shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That's not a maybe, that's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a promise that he has for you if you follow the Good Shepherd. And in the act or in the conviction of knowing that goodness and mercy follows you, in the conviction and reality that you're following the Good Shepherd, you're choosing each day, I want to be in the house. I want to be in the house. Why? Because I'm following the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd has prepared a table before me in the house of God. This morning, we had team huddle. God reminded me of the verse. And I said it to the team huddle, that one day in the courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Can I encourage us this morning to be people who come to the house? Because one moment in his house is better than 1,000 days at Disneyland, Japan, Asia, all those places that look amazing on screen but will not fulfill your heart. One day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Meaning that means that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will plant myself in the house of God, whatever that looks like, no matter what the cost. We got to stop putting God's way second. We got to stop putting God things second. put God's things first in all things, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm following the Good Shepherd. Does that make sense, everyone? I pray that we review ourselves and see which cup we are to understand what overflow truly looks like. And I pray, as you examine yourself, be real. Like, if you are this cup, just go, okay, Lord, I've been this cup. I'm sorry that I've been this cup. Teach me how to be humble. Have humility before you. And if you are this big, gigantic cup, you know what? That's okay. Because if you're not, if you don't shine light on what's truth, then you'll always pretend that something's not real. You know? Like, you'll pretend that you're this cup, but really you're this cup. Don't pretend. Don't pretend. If you're this cup, be this cup. Own it that you're this cup. And say, God, I've been this cup for so long. I am sorry. Take me back to where you need me to be. Just own the cup you are, all right? That's what I'm saying. Own it. Because trust me, I've been through all these cups, and it's only been in the last few years that I've been this cup. It's taken me a long time to be this cup. I can remember all my youth days, I was this cup. When I was serving in the ministry, I was this cup. I thought I was the man. I thought I was the gifted one. But it wasn't me. It was God. I learned real quick how to come from this cup to this cup. Don't wait to hit rock bottom to become this cup. Don't wait till bad things to happen to go to back to this cup. But change your life now, today. So Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that the words that be spoken have been sown in a good soil that will reap a harvest in our lives. That Lord Father, that we'll have some transparent, honest discussions with you, Holy Spirit, to examine which cup we are to experience true overflow in our lives. And so, Father, we're choosing today to be people who are still and who will sit at your table, because at your table there's provision, there's healing, there's breakthrough, there's everything that you need for us. And so, Father, we thank you that you look after us. We thank you that you have grace for us and mercy for us in every area of our lives, even the times when we muck up, even the times that we fall short. We thank you that you're always faithful towards us. And so, Father, we honor you and glorify you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Give Pastor Jay a hand. Awesome. Such an awesome scripture to unpack. And I think so relevant for us, because if we don't evaluate ourselves every now and again,